Without any further ado, I will get into this word. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 8. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Amen. And when you get there, say amen. I heard okay. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Before we do get started, it is our custom that we stand for the reading of the word, just out of respect. It's not necessarily a thus saith God thing, but it's just something that we like to do in this house. We like to reverence the word of God by standing. And so if you do have the capacity to do so, we do ask that if you do. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion," or Sion, "a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." I'm going to read verse 8 again because that's going to be the main verse I'll be taking my thought from. "And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Today I'd like to preach to you a message simply entitled, "Jesus, the Rock of Offense." Jesus, the Rock of offense. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I commend this message into your hands. I cannot do anything within my flesh. I do not wish to come with enticing words or man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power of the Spirit, that people's faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I pray in the name of Jesus that the hearts and the minds of those that are hearing this message, let them be open. I pray, use me to reach someone with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they might be born into the kingdom of God, and that they might be conformed in the image of Christ. I speak it now in the name of Jesus. Let there be liberty. Let there be deliverance. Let there be, I pray, healing. Let there be reconciliation even unto the household of God. I speak it and declare it right now in Jesus' name. And God, I thank in advance for the word that's about to be brought forth. I thank in advance for the effect the word is going to have on this people when they hear the word. God, I thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. And in Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say, amen. You may be seated. There are many different titles and depictions of Christ that people love to invoke when referring to God. Many different titles have been attributed to Christ in trying to describe as to what he is, that he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's called the Carpenter. He is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's called God of Gods. He's called the Prince of Peace, an Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor. He's the Good Shepherd. He's the Doorway. He's the Light of the World. He's the Bread of Life. He's the Living Water. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the Rock of all ages. He's the Ancient of all days. He's the Bright and Morning Star. I mean, he's all these different things. He's the Messiah. He is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient, almighty God. He is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere at once. He is merciful, gracious, altogether lovely, altogether wonderful. His peace passes all understanding. His joy is unspeakable and full of glory. His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. There are so many different adjectives that we could use to describe God, that they illustrate how God relates to mankind. But there is one particular title that people don't want to talk about, and that is that Jesus Christ is called the Rock of Offense. That he's called the Rock, or a Rock of Offense. And this is a title to which the church needs to talk about. It's a title to which that we should not relate to, but it is a title to which the Church of the Living God needs to address. These descriptions, as I said before, they illustrate the many ways in which he relates to Christ and relates to mankind as a whole. And the reason why that Jesus is called the Rock of Offense, because Jesus Christ is offensive. To preach Jesus is to invite ridicule, persecution, isolation, because he is the most, I would argue that he may be the most offensive person to ever exist, that he offends everybody. That when Jesus Christ came on the earth, Jesus Christ is described as love in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Where it said that God is love, that Jesus was God, was God in the flesh. He was love in a human body, yet he offended pretty much everybody. He got on everyone's nerves. And he was so offensive that when he died on the cross, that creation itself could not even look at him as he bore the evil and the wickedness and the shame of all humanity. That all of creation, the sun could not even shine its light upon his form because of the offense that Jesus Christ was when he took upon our sins. Jesus Christ is the most offensive person that there is. You want to talk about offensive things that isolate people. All of mankind to a certain degree rejects Christ because of his offensiveness. Think about it. I mean, you might have been rejected from getting a date or rejected from getting a job. But can you imagine if almost all of creation, all of your creation, all of your children rejecting you and saying, I don't want to have anything to do with you because Jesus Christ is offensive. The Bible says in John 1 verse 10, it says he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That is bad enough that his own family was rejecting him. His own brothers and sisters said, we don't believe that he's the Christ. That his own friends, the people that he grew up with, when he started to manifest the Messiahship and show that he truly was Christ, that he was the anointed one, that they would not believe it, they rejected him. Because the idea of him being Christ, the idea of who he was incredibly offensive. Why is Jesus described as being offensive? That word offensive that I read in the scripture text in 1 Peter 2:8, that it calls him a rock of offense. The Greek word there is scandalon, which means offense, a stumbling block, an occasion of stumbling, thing that offends, the movable stick or trigger of a trap. Jesus is the very trigger of a trap. That's a crazy description to attribute to Christ, but that's what he is described as. Why is that the case? Why would Christ be offensive? The reason why Jesus Christ is offensive because, one, he alone has the audacity to say that he is the only way unto salvation. Jesus said in John 8:24, that I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. What audacity that Jesus Christ would make such a statement, that in a society, culture, or nation prides itself in hypocritical tolerance, acceptance, and moral relativism, the concept of Jesus Christ, who claims soul exclusivity in relation to life and eternity, is an affront to all that they are. That everyone wants to tolerate any type of lifestyle and accept anything and say, you can live any way and get to heaven. You can live any way and have any type of code of morals or ethics and it's okay. But when you come to Christ and he said that, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life, no man cometh unto the Father except but by me, that unless you believe in me, that you will die in your sins. Well, that's offensive. How dare you say that you're the only one that I can receive salvation? You're the only way to live. And because that Christ, he claims to be exclusive in the sense that he is the only gateway into heaven. He said, I am the door. I am the only entryway into salvation and into eternity. This offends people because people want to live their way any way they want to live it. They want to justify their lifestyles and say that we're accepting and that we're tolerant, yet you won't accept Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. But we'll say we'll accept any lifestyle. Well, anything is good as long as you believe it, as long as you want to live that type of way. Now I want to ask another question, and that is this, and why do people become offended at Jesus Christ? I described why he's offensive, but why is it that people perceive him as such? I want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. And we'll be looking at verses 3 through 6 for a moment. And this is a very famous story. It's the parable of the sower. And in this particular story, I believe Jesus Christ is giving us some very interesting information regarding the rock of offense as to why people perceive him as a stumbling block, as something to trip over. That they're going along their life, and when they come to Christ, they fall. They are ensnared. They're enticed even to sin. They are tempted even to commit sin at the appearance of Christ. Why is that? I believe this parable explains that. Matthew 13, verse 3 says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. I want to talk about two types of people who are offended at Christ. One of them is what I like to call the wayside people, and the other is the stony people. And I'm going to give you some definitions as to what they are. First, let's deal with the wayside people mentioned in this particular text. The word wayside comes from the Greek word hodos, which means a highway or a journey or a very well-traveled road. That everyone is going down that particular road. And you know, it's very interesting because in Matthew chapter 7, I believe it's verses 12 through 14, it says that broad is the way. That word way there is hodos, the way that leadeth unto destruction. That way that the seed fell amongst a way that was leading unto destruction. Now, here's some characteristics about people by the wayside. One, people by the wayside are offended because they do not understand the word of God. When the word of God is preached, they do not comprehend it and they become offended by it. The Bible says in Matthew 13, verse number 18, it says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." That they are confused. They hear the word of God and they are confused. The Bible says in Matthew 13, verse 13, that same chapter, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not. Neither do they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah or Esaias, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." So they are offended at Christ because they do not understand when the word of God is going forth. The enemy comes in and he brings confusion so that you cannot understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. The seed landed on the wayside and it didn't even get into the dirt to even penetrate to produce fruit. The devil came and he stole it through confusion. And some of you, you've gone through circumstances and situations that you do not understand. And then when you hear the gospel being preached that Jesus Christ is loving and that Jesus Christ is merciful, you're unable to reconcile your situation, your pain, your heartache, your trial, your tribulation with the loving mercy and the deliverance of Jesus Christ. You become confused and then you become offended and disenfranchised and separated from Christ. Number two. Now, the reason why they don't understand, because they do not belong to God, they belong to the devil. People become offended at Christ because they belong to the devil. If you look in John 8:37, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, he begins to try and describe them who he is. He's trying to tell them that I am truly God in the flesh. But look at the reaction that happens here. John 8 verse 37 says, "I know that you're Abraham's seed." They're trying to say, "I belong to Abraham. I'm a good person. I'm all this other stuff." That they look at their pedigree as to justify themselves before God. He says, "I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you." That when the word of God comes to find a place to plant itself inside of your heart, there is no place for the word of God to reside. Now, if you look in verse 43 of this same chapter, it says, "Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word?" He then goes on to say that ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. The reason why you try and preach to some folk and tell them the truth, because they're operating under a different administration. They're operating under Satan. Satan is manipulating them and controlling them. And so that when you preach the word of God, they become confused because the devil is blinding them. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:3, "For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them, lest they should believe the glorious gospel of Christ." Satan is confusing them so that when the word of God goes forth, the word of God cannot penetrate and cause change and transformation. And then they are offended. They are offended. When Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Unless you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God." They became offended. They walked away from Christ because all they were groupies wanting fishes and loaves to feed their bellies. They did not want to actually experience a transforming power of God to cause them to be righteous with him. They became offended because they did not belong to God. Number three, their hearts are hardened towards God because of pride and the traditions of men. The Bible says in Matthew 15, verse 8, This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. This is why when the word of God comes, he said that my words have no place in you, because something else is occupying the space my word ought to be. And typically it's a tradition of man. It's an ideology, a philosophy of man that says that I'm good enough, I'm righteous enough, I'm justified by my own works and my own good ways. And that because of that, there's no place for God saying that you're a sinner and that you're a lust demonized person that needs to repent and needs to believe on Christ alone for your salvation. No, you want to justify yourself and stand before God, say, I'm good enough by my own works. I don't need Jesus. I don't need the Holy Ghost. And I don't need this and that. I don't need to be baptized. And I don't need to experience Jesus Christ. You want to justify yourself before God. And because of your tradition, you have made the word of God of none effect. We come with all sorts of gimmicks and tricks and technicalities to try and make the gospel complicated. The gospel ought to be simple, that a child himself could receive it. For he said, except ye become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Coming up with philosophies and traditions of men that occupy our hearts instead of the true, unadulterated, pure, powerful word of God that can truly transform the sin-infected soul into the image of the righteous Christ. That it's only God alone, his word alone, can save us. No tradition of man, no philosophy, no standard, nothing else can do it. Only Jesus Christ, the righteous one, can save us and redeem us from our sin. Verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto them, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? That when they heard this, their hearts became hardened. The word of God did not even penetrate the surface, because there was no place for the word of God to even penetrate, to even land, even to find a home. They would not even be receptive, because they think they already know. I dealt with this quite a bit as a teacher, that I try and teach people and they act as if they already know. One of the worst people to talk to is someone who thinks they already know everything. They don't even really give you the time of day. They don't even hear what you're trying to say, because I already know. I already got this. And there are people that think that they're already righteous, that they got it all together and they got it all figured out. When Jesus said that you need to search the scriptures, for in them they testify of me. That you need to get into the word of God and truly make your calling and your election sure, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Instead of thinking, well, I'm so righteous, I'm so suchy much and whatever, and I've got this title and I occupy this office or this position. And we think that we don't need the word of God. We've substituted the word of God with the traditions of men. Praise God. He said they were offended. He said, how dare you trying to tell me, Jesus? Trying to tell me what we've been doing, these traditions for ages and years, huh? In the story, that Jesus' disciples did not follow the traditions of the elders. And so the Pharisees got on some haterade tip and started trying to blast them and try to castigate them and try to bring them down and judge them with their self-righteousness, because there's no place for the word in their hearts. They were enticed to sin. The word there in the Greek is scandalizio. It's where we get the word scandal from. That they were scandalized at hearing the word. And the Bible said that it means that to be enticed to sin. How could Jesus Christ entice anyone to sin? Doesn't the Bible say that God doesn't tempt any man with evil? But the Bible said that no man is tempted of God, but he's drawn away by his own lusts. That when people confront Jesus Christ, they are tempted to sin. Why? Because you have to make a decision. Either you accept Christ or you don't. And in that is a temptation not to accept Christ. And not to accept Christ is really the only unforgivable sin. You can't ask God to forgive you for not accepting him, for not believing on him. So when you come across Christ, you can't just throw him away. You can't avoid it. You can't just try and walk the line and walk the fence and try and stay in the gray area. You've got to make a decision. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Jesus asked them. He said, who do men say that I am? Some say you're Elijah. Some say that you're Jeremiah. Some say that you're John the Baptist risen from the dead. Jesus looked at them, but what do you say? I don't care what other people are saying about me. What do you think? What do you believe? And Peter answered rightly in stating that I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You've got to make a decision for yourself whether I accept Jesus or I don't. You've got to make a decision what to do with Jesus. Now look what Jesus says about the Pharisees after he makes his statement, after he was questioned by the disciples. Listen, did you know that you offended them when you made those statements? Look what Jesus says in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 15. He says, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Number four, wayside people are offended because God did not ordain them or appoint them to their position. And they are in disobedience. And they don't want to admit that they're in disobedience. They don't want to admit that the position that they're in is evil and is wicked. They'd rather justify themselves. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, that men had loved darkness rather than light. They'd rather stay in the closet than come out of the closet and allow God to clean it. They'd rather stay in a place of darkness and stay in a place of oppression and stay in their wickedness and cling to their temptations than allow Christ to change them. And so because of that, they are offended. God did not ordain. He said, every plant that my... This is what he said about the Pharisees when they're asking, did you know that they were offended? He's like, they were offended because I didn't ordain them. I didn't ordain them. I didn't plant them. And because of that, they're going to be rooted up. They're in a position of disobedience. They are in opposition of the word of God. And because they're in opposition to the word of God, they are going to be uprooted. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, the verse I started off with, he said, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble, they trip over the word of God, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Wayside people don't receive the blessings of God, which is why they may also become jealous and try to kill you. You notice that when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees in John 8, he said, you guys are trying to kill me. You're trying to kill me. Because you know that you're wrong, and you don't want me to remind you that you're wrong, that you're not in the right place, and you need to change. And so people, they're in sin, and they're lashing out at the righteous for preaching the gospel, and that's why you're seeing so much hate against the church for standing up for righteousness and not trying to authenticate or validate a lifestyle of sin. They hate us because we're not trying to please them and placate where they are, and we remind them of the truth. And because of that, they are offended. They become jealous. And they don't receive on the blessings of God. They'll try this something, try that in this position. And nothing ever fulfills them. But if you walk in the fulfillment of God, you're going to receive the blessings of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 60, verse 21, thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. That they shall inherit the land because God ordained you. God planted you when you're walking in his will and in his way. These are people who the word of God doesn't even get under the surface. They just tune it out. Tune it out. You know, I think it's very interesting that the very last miracle that Jesus Christ did when he was on the earth was healing a man who lost his hearing. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and the soldiers came to arrest him, Peter got all upset trying to defend Jesus. He took a sword and he cut off the ear of Caiaphas, the high priest's servant. And Jesus took that ear and he put it on the servant and healed him. The very last miracle he did was to heal the hearing of somebody. And even today, Jesus is saying, lend me your ears. Jesus is saying, I want to heal your ears, because even though the word of God is being preached, we don't really listen. And because we don't listen, we don't experience transformation and we don't experience victory. That one of the greatest miracles that Jesus can do is to hear a deaf church. And that's why he kept saying through Revelation, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. I'm talking about the stony people. Stony people, they are receptive to the word of God. They get excited about it on the surface, but inwardly they are hardened against it. Matthew 13, 20, the parable of the sower says, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receive it. They're excited about it. They grab onto it. They run with it. They're very excited about it on the surface, but really on the inside, it hasn't really gotten to the deep part of them. They are shallow. Point number two, they are shallow and offended when troubles happen in life because of the word. Their offense is because of the word of God. But from a different perspective, the wayside people, they're offended because they're in sin. The stony people are offended because they're being persecuted because they're trying to walk in the truth. There's a difference. They are shallow and they're offended when troubles happen in life because of the word. Matthew 13, verse 21, Jesus describing this, he says, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He is scandalized, and he no longer wants to hang out with Christ anymore. He no longer wants to be with Christ. He's like, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up to be persecuted. I didn't sign up to be isolated and ridiculed and mocked and made fun of and ribbed and to be rejected by people. I didn't sign up for that. They are offended because they're not, the word of God is not rooted in them. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love, Christ gets you into your heart, and you become rooted and grounded in love. The reason why there are Christians over across the seas who are willing to have their heads chopped off, that are willing to be shot and gunned down for Jesus, because they realize not that they love Jesus, but they realize that Jesus loves them. They have found a love that is so great that they are willing to die for it, because that love, Jesus Christ, he died for them. And because they are rooted in the love of Jesus Christ and his love has penetrated their heart, they are willing to go to death for it. But these individuals, they understand on a surface level and they're excited. Yeah, they come to church and yes, they clap their hands and yes, they raise up their hands and worship to God. But when things really start getting tough, suddenly they don't want to show up to church no more. When they can't hang out with the people they used to smoke with, they don't want to come to church no more. They don't want to go through that. They don't want to be rejected. They become offended because of the word of God. Even though the scripture says in Matthew 11, 6, and blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Don't you understand that if you're not offended in Christ, Christ has a blessing for you? That if you would just hold on and endure, there is a crown of life. There is a crown of righteousness at the end of the struggle. The Bible said that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth them out of them all. The Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't you understand that there is a blessing that is there in the suffering, and that's in the tribulation and in the trial? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I want you to understand that the tribulation is only for a season. And when I compare the trouble and the hell that I'm going through right now to the glory that God has for me at the end of the trial, I can fight on a little bit longer. I can run a little bit faster. I can keep on going, because I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. I want to keep on fighting, because I know that the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but as he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. The same shall be saved. The Bible said that if we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ, that we are should expect to suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him together. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 162, that I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. People are offended at the word of God because they truly don't love the word of God. If you love the word of God, the Bible says nothing shall offend you. Nothing's going to cause you to trip up. Nothing's going to cause you to stumble. Manifest as great peace have they that love thy law. Then when the doctor report comes and says you might have cancer, you ain't worried about it, because I love the law of God, and God's word said by his stripes I was healed. Then when that bill hits my table, I know that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing will offend them. Nothing causes me to stumble. Nothing causes me to tremble, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That walking inside of the word of God, it protects me. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own. He goes with me everywhere I go. He said, I preserve thy going out and thy coming in. I preserve thee from all evil. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. That the enemy can't touch you. That no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. For this is the inheritance of the service of the Lord. And the righteousness is of me, says the Lord. That the devil can't touch you. You need to get an MC Hammer spirit and say, you can't touch this. You can't touch this. I'm not going to trip. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to stumble. Because I love the word of God. And if God says I can make it, then I know I can make it. When God says come, I can walk on the waters. Let the lightning flash, let the wind blow, I'm just going to keep walking up on the word of God, because the word of God will sustain me. Nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. When the preacher begins to preach the word of God and preach truth and say that you will die in your sins unless you believe on Jesus Christ, the only way unto salvation, unless you believe on him and repent and turn from your wicked ways, you are not offended because you love the word of God. When everyone bounced on Jesus, when Jesus was saying, you better eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, otherwise you won't make it to heaven, they abandoned him, but the 12. And Jesus looked at him and said, will you go also? Peter looked at him and said, where else can I go? You have the words of everlasting life. Who else can I talk to? Who else can say, let there be light, and the darkness has to bring forth light? Who else can frame the heavens and the stars and tell them to hold in their place? For it commanded, and it was done. He spake, and it stood fast. That when God says it, oh God, when God says it, it's a done deal. The fat lady better start singing when God starts talking to you. Who else can I talk to? What other word can take away cancer from my body? What other word can resurrect me from the dead? What other word can make me stop smoking? What other word can make the lost be found? What other word can cause the blind to see? Where else can I go? Kanye's words won't do it. Jay-Z's words won't do it. Obama's words won't do it. Einstein's words won't do it. Only the word of the living God, Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven that came down for the sins of the world. Where else can we go? Where else can I go? I go to the rock of my salvation. You mean that rock of offense? Yeah, the rock of my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected. I go to the rock. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me unto the rock. The sinners, they're trying to run away from the rock, while the saints are running to the rock. Don't you understand, if you're not on the rock, that you're going to fall, that all of the ground is sinking sand? But I stand upon the rock, Jesus Christ the righteous. Here's the big one. The big one for stony people. Their hearts are hardened and offended because of a lack of gratitude over past experiences. I'll repeat that again to really make sure you get this. Their hearts are hardened and offended because of a lack of gratitude over past experiences. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6. I want you to see them. I'm going to slow in just for a minute. Because this is the big one. This is the one that really trips people up. Mark chapter 6, verse 46. It says, and when he had sent them away, Jesus Christ talking to his disciples, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And when he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked to them, and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now look what it says in verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. You've been through an experience, and God brought you out of it. But with our ungrateful selves, we don't recognize what God really did. So then when the next trial comes, our hearts are hardened. And we become afraid. It said they were freaking out that Jesus was walking on the water because they did not consider the fishes and the loaves. Just a little bit earlier, he just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. If a man could do that, he could do anything. So then when they see him walk on the water, they are scared to death. They are offended. They're tripping up. Poke your neighbor and say, why are you tripping for? Okay, y'all gonna do that's fine. Okay, we'll just go on then. That usually works with other preachers. For some reason, it doesn't seem to work for me. But anyway, thought I'd try it. But no. Thought I'd just try the little game. Okay, moving on. Lost train of thought. Jesus comes walking in the water. They get offended. They freak out because they did not consider the fishes and the loaves. Perhaps an event has occurred that ended in disappointment, and it has made the person very bitter towards God. even though they should thank God that they have anything. You went through something and you prayed and it didn't quite turn out the way that you wanted to, and you gave no thanks to God. And when that happens, the Bible says that your heart becomes hardened because you don't consider the fishes and the loaves. You're unthankful and you're ungrateful. And the more that God does for you, the more familiar you become with his blessings, and you become hardened to what God is trying to do and trying to say to you. Unthankful, ungrateful. The Bible says in Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They knew God, but they refused to recognize him as being God in that circumstance. Perhaps you prayed for something, you've been through a tragedy, and it didn't turn out the way that you wanted it to. And so now you're offended. Now your heart is hardened towards God. Then when God asks you to do this, or read your word, or pray, or maybe pay your tithes, or go talk to someone about his love and mercy, you don't want to do it because you're ungrateful. You're unthankful. You do not consider the fishes and the loaves, and the fact that you're even breathing is by the blood of Jesus Christ himself. It's only by the mercy of God that we are not consumed. And because of that, we do not receive what God is having to say. Instead, the reverse happens, that our hearts become hardened. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:14, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Something I want to point out to you about the parable of the sower is that the seed that was sown did not change the soil. The soil that was stony was still stony even when the seed got in it. The soil that was by the wayside still was by the wayside when the seed landed there. The seed that landed amongst the thorns was still thorny when the seed got in there. And the soil that was good was still good when the seed got in there. It didn't change. What? That's crazy. Remember I said that Jesus Christ is he's a rock of offense. He's a stumbling block. Instead, what the seed does is it brings to light what's already there. When the word of God goes forth and your response is, huh? You ever see that? They don't say amen, they say, hey, huh? Hey, huh? I don't know, so I'm down with that preacher. What? It didn't change the soil at all. All it did was bring to light what the soil really was. And the thing is, when the word of God is preached, what it's doing is it's bringing to the surface what you really are. And that's another reason why it's offensive. Because some of us, we don't want to look in the mirror and see what we really are. You're avoiding the scale when you know you got a weight problem. I just told it myself. Ain't looked at the scale in months. You don't want to look in the mirror. You don't want to look at it. Because then you got to deal with it. You got to do something about it. You got to make a decision. Well, what do I do with this? The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is like a mirror, and it shows you what you really are. And so the thing is, perhaps the stony soil didn't realize it was stony. And again, notice the stones were there prior to the seed coming there. Something had happened to that ground that it caused it to be hard before the word even got there. What stones are in my life that are preventing me from really experiencing the word of God? Now, I'm not saying that that the word of God cannot transform or change anybody. Because the Bible says, thy word hath I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again by, not of incorruptible seed, but not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. I'm not saying that the word of God does not change. But in this particular analogy that Jesus is saying, is that right now the word of God is just trying to show you what you are. You can't solve a problem that you don't even realize that you don't even have one. You got to first define it. So God is showing you what you really are, that maybe your heart's hardened. And that's why this church thing ain't working for you. Because you just came here just to get a free blessing or whatever, instead of living a life that's holy and acceptable unto God. He's trying to show you what you are. We don't want to look at that. We don't want to hear that, but that's the truth. And that's why Jesus is called the rock of offense. He's the most offensive thing there is to this world. Because it's just like you're asleep and someone turns on the light. How do you look when someone turns the light after you just woke up? Just get that image in your head just for a moment. Look like Igor or something. People don't look too pretty when they first wake up, do they? Drool hanging down, hair a hot mess, breath so hot can melt rocks. Don't look too pretty. It's offensive. And the thing is, when sinners come to the altar, they're waking up. So they don't always look all righteous and sanctified when they come to Christ. They just woke up. You've been in this thing. You got up, you already had a shower and did your hair and everything. Yeah, you look nice. They just woke up. And that's why we got to be careful judging folk when they come up in here. And then you're going to be a rock of offense to them, but in a bad way. We don't want to do that. We don't want to offend people in that regard. What stones are in my life? What rocks are in my life that is preventing me from experiencing transformation? That's preventing me from producing the fruit that God has for me? What stones? What stones are there? There's a really brilliant cartoon, and I'm going to close now. Brilliant cartoon. It showed I think it was a potato, and it was an egg. And they were in a pot of boiling water. And the potato was becoming softened and was starting to become very very delicious, and so it was becoming softened and so on and tender, while the egg was getting hardened. Yet they were in the same hot water. I think you see where I'm going with this. The same circumstance that you go through can either kill you or it can bring you to life. Here's the thing. You have a choice. You can either be bitter or you can be better. You can be like that egg and get harder when troubles come, or you can get softened and say, God, I cling to you. God, I need you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You got a choice. Don't let Jesus be a rock of offense. That's not a title as a church we ought to be relating to Jesus as. A rock of offense. Where Jesus is something that trips us up. But instead, he's the rock that we stand on. He's the rock that saves us in a weary land. You're in a wilderness right now, in a desert, and Jesus is sending you to a rock. You ain't trying to hear that. What do you mean go to a rock? But in that rock is water to quench your thirst. Go to the rock. Go to Jesus. Don't let him become offensive to you. Last verse, Matthew 18:7. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. It says offenses are coming. You can't avoid offenses. Things are coming. Temptations are coming. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. If your hands and your feet are causing you to sin, cause you to offend God, the Bible says cut them off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Get rid of it. If there are stones that are in your soil, you need to get rid of it. Let go of that root of bitterness that's been in your soil. Remove the rock, that thing that's causing the word of God to be shallow. You got to get that out of you. Because it's preventing you from inheriting the blessings of God. He said, blessed is the man that's not offended in me. Let the seed of God, the word of God, get in you and let it produce fruit. Let's stand. Let's stand. Jesus, the rock of offense. Jesus. It's a rock of offense. Rock of offense. People get so easily offended. This world is so conscious about being politically correct about everything. Can't offend nobody. Can't say anything anymore. Can't talk the truth anymore. they're so offended. But Jesus is like, you know what? They're offended because I didn't plant them. He's like, let them deal with it. They're blind leaders leading the blind, and they'll both fall into the ditch. We're going to stop sugarcoating stuff and just preach Jesus. Just preach Jesus. We don't have to get on some political, thing. We just preach Jesus. I'm not trying to get political, but I don't see the apostles trying to vote someone out of office. All they did was just preach Jesus. They overturned nations and caused societies to go into upheaval just by preaching Jesus. These are they that turned the world upside down, they said to the apostles. All because they preached Jesus, the rock of offense, the stumbling block, the stone that the builders disallowed has now become the head of the corner. And that's just it. The people who do stumble over Jesus, the people that are rejecting Jesus, they're going to have to deal with them one day because every knee is going to have to bow. Every tongue is going to have to confess. You have a choice today. Are you going to continue to stumble over this Jesus thing? I know this was a hard message because it's what's called the rock of offense. So it just has to be hard. But don't be like the disciples who were just fishes and loaves groupies that just came for the blessings. When Jesus finally challenged them, said, it's time for transformation. It's time that you repent of your sins. It's time that you die out to the old way and you come and you take up your cross and you follow me. When that happened, they didn't, wait a second. I didn't sign up for this. You got to make a choice. Don't. Blessed is the man that's not offended in him, man. Great peace. Great. You want peace in your life, man? Get Jesus. Get Jesus. In Isaiah 9:6, he's called the Prince of Peace. He's the ruler of it. He invented it. He cornered the market on it. You want peace, you go to Jesus. Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Once you get to know him, you'll get peace. Peace. You've been in turmoil. You've been in confusion. Just like the wayside. I'm trying to shut up, but I'm reaching for somebody. The thing about the wayside is I find about very interesting, that it was a highway, it was a well-traveled road, which means that the seed could never get settled into the soil because people were always walking through it. Birds were always coming through it and eating the seed. And one of the reasons why you're not receiving the word of God, because there's so much confusion, there's so much turmoil and stuff going on. People keep walking through your house, walking down your road, that you can't get the word of God. God is here to give you peace. Peace he wants to give unto you. Bible says, and I believe it's Philippians 4:6, I'm trying to quit. It said, be careful for nothing. In all things of prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace that passes all understanding shall be imparted in your hearts by Christ Jesus. Peace. Peace. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Don't let Jesus be a rock of offense. Let him be a rock of a foundation. A foundation that you can stand on. That you can surmount the greatest obstacles. You can beat the greatest enemies when your trust is in Christ. But you've got to die out to yourself and let go of the offenses of others. Let go of bitterness. Let go of the disappointments. Let go of the rejections. Let go of the hurt and rely on Christ. Jesus Christ, I'm reaching for somebody. Jesus Christ loves you and he wants to heal you. And he wants you to wake up to his goodness. Wake up to the light. Wake up to the sun. Let him love you. Let him take you. Yeah, it hurts at first, but it's going to get better. And you have a body of believers that are here with you to pray with you and to encourage you so that you can have a relationship with him. Don't let Jesus become the rock of offense to you. Let him become the foundation of your salvation. God bless you.